It's business made simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.
Good morning, Graeme. How are you doing?
Great. Okay, good to be back again. And it feels like a summer day looking out today. Beautiful sunshine, blue skies. Just a bit of a chill in the air, but yeah, fantastic to be here again.
It's a pleasure to have you back. So you are riding solo today. No guests that you're profiling. So what are we talking about today?
It's all on me, yeah. So maybe it's apt. You know, we're going to be touching on a bit of a difficult topic and a thorny topic, and that's one of, you know, business separation or business partner separation. And, you know, I'll use an analogy and then I'll explain it a bit from a biblical context, is that, you know, just like nobody starts a marriage with the intention of getting divorced, you know, hate to use the D word, but nobody starts a business partnership with the intention of splitting. You know, you start with high hopes and enthusiasm. But like any relationship, a business can experience difficulties, and it can often lead to the decision for business partners to part ways. You know, and I just want to kind of disclaim that, you know, from a biblical perspective, I use the analogy of business partnerships being like a marriage. But I think the one thing that's different, you know, with a business compared to a marriage is, you know, from a Christian perspective, marriage is a covenant relationship. You know, which means you need to do everything you can to make it work and all of those sorts of things. We're businesses, they're more of what we call a contractual relationship. So, you know, sometimes in business, you do get to a point where you actually can't move forward. And it's better to cut the cord when it's clear that things are going in different directions. So I'm not advocating that people should get divorced willy-nilly, but in business, you know, as I say, it's around understanding the reasons why separations can happen, the potential implications of those, the outcomes of those, and then also what can you do to prepare for that, you know, so if and when it does happen. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be chatting about today.
Sure. As you said, it is quite a thorny and difficult topic indeed. Please break it down for us.
Okay, so let's start with some of the reasons for why business partners or shareholders might decide to go their different ways. So, you know, there's a number of reasons. Even the most successful businesses may eventually dissolve or break up or separate. And each of these reasons has got, you know, its unique challenges. So I'm going to sort of just highlight five reasons why businesses could, or business partners could separate. There are probably hundreds more, but sort of the most common ones. You know, the first one is where there's differing visions or goals for the business. And whilst, you know, partners may initially start out with a common vision and a common goal, over time that may change. You know, people change, their goals and their visions for the company might diverge. And sometimes this can cause friction and make collaboration and working together very, very difficult. So that's kind of the first one. We start with the vision and the goal. When that, you know, when there's a fork in the road there, it can be very, very tricky. The second one, and this also happens more often than we like to kind of admit, but financial disagreements. You know, it's amazing. You know, money can do strange things to people. You know, I think it says in the Bible, you know, it's you know, money in itself is not bad, but the love of money is a dangerous thing. But in business, you know, disputes over financial management, how profits are distributed, or, you know, how these should be invested, can lead to like irreconcilable differences. You know, even if you look at relationships, you know, some people like to spend and some people like to save. You know? So those kind of things over time can change. And people behave differently in times of abundance and times of distress. So financial disagreements can happen whether the business is doing well or whether it's doing poorly. You know, so for example, some people might have the view that, you know, I've worked really hard, now it's time to enjoy the fruits of my labor, where others might be, well, actually I need to reinvest those profits so we can grow more or whatever. So that can lead to disagreement. The third one is around personal conflicts. You know, so, you know, personal relationships can impact on your business partnerships. We like to kind of put things in these neat little boxes and say, well, you know, you've got your personal life and your business life. But when you're a business owner in particular, you know, these things do kind of converge. But things like misunderstandings, lack of trust, different worth ethic, that can erode a partnership or a shareholder, you know, coming together. And if these things aren't clearly communicated and addressed, it can lead to separation down the line. And then the last two I want to just touch on is, you know, sort of unequal contribution. I alluded to that when it came to financial disagreements. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think when there's disparities in the sort of effort, time, or resources that each partner invests in the business, this can, if it's not addressed, lead to conflict and resentment. You know, so as the business evolves, the roles of founders and partners changes. So, yeah, I'll give an example of that. Sometimes you have somebody who provides the money and somebody who provides the sweat equity, so to speak. You know, they work hard in the business. And maybe over time that changes. You know, maybe the person who's providing the money, if the business is doing well, not that relevant anymore. You know, and then the person who's working in the business is like, well, you know, resentful because you provided some initial capital, but now I'm doing all the hard work. You know, another example would be, we've spoken about this when we talk about succession, is one partner might be saying, how do I make myself redundant in the business? And what they mean by that is, how do I put systems and processes in place so that I'm doing less of the work? The business is not dependent on me, so it's more valuable if I want to sell it. While another partner might have this sort of belief that, you know, you have to do the hard work yourself and you deserve more reward if you do that. So those are sort of fundamental differences around, yeah, contribution and how that's perceived. And then the last one is, like in relationships, unexpected life changes. So, you know, personal circumstances, somebody could get sick, family obligations, you know, or a relocation. Maybe one of the partners needs to change cities, change towns, immigration, all those things. Often these aren't planned and they can come as a surprise, but it happens to a business when it least expects it. So that's not an acrimonious split. It's just, you know, life happens and business partners go their separate ways. So what this all means is it's sometimes better in business to cut the cord when it's clear that things are going in different directions.
Sure, these are quite very much real situations that arise in business. Now, what are some of the implications of some of the types, you know, or rather reasons that business partners separates?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've spoken about why. So what are the implications when this happens? So it's not just for the partners. So there's obviously implications for the partners and the shareholders themselves, but for the business as well. So again, you know, I'm trying to keep it simple because it's quite a meaty topic, but you know, there's sort of five key things which I'll chat about. The first one is, you know, for the business, we talk about operational disruption. What does this mean? Okay, is that if one of or more than one of the partners leaves a business, it can disrupt the daily operations. Okay, so if you in partnership, you know, let's say you've got a restaurant and one is the chef and the other is the advertising, marketing, front of house. If the chef decides to leave, okay, without a replacement, that's got a problem. You've got lots of hungry people sitting in your restaurant with no food. A very silly example, but you know, just to illustrate the point. And it's more prevalent where the shareholders or the partners are very involved in the business. Okay. The second is financial. So, you know, when one partner leaves, there's a lot of cost associated with that. So, you know, I'm going to break that out into two things. One is, if you've built something of value, if you built a house together, use the divorce example, which is a, you know, not a great one to use, but if you're living in a shared home, sometimes you need to sell the home. And if 50-50 split on that, one partner might want to live in the house. The other partner might want to move out. But that home might be worth something. The business is worth something. So the person departing needs to be paid out for their share in the business. So there's the paying out for what their share of the business is worth. But there's also legal fees and there's restructuring and all of that that can strain the business. So normally, businesses don't set aside reserves or money to say, oh, well, if somebody leaves, I need to have a chunk of money to pay them out. Okay, so what that can mean is the remaining partner or shareholders sometimes need to take on debt or a loan or put in some of their own money to buy that person out. So that's all well and good if it's an amicable separation and you can structure around that. But if there's a dispute over what the business is worth or what's acrimonious, it makes it even harder. So, you know, that's a big implication of separations. And then the knock-on impacts, you know, so, you know, what about the employees? Okay, so if you're employing people, they might be uncertain or anxious about their job security, you know, the future of the company. So this can affect their morale and productivity. There could also be an increase in internal politics, you know, particularly as in any organization, employees align themselves with certain people. So if you've got two shareholders, some employees might support the one and not the other, or have more of an affinity. So, so it might force employees to feel that they have to take sides. Again, this can result in actually sometimes people, unexpected people leaving. So if a partner leaves and somebody in the business feels aggrieved or whatever, they might leave as well. So when a shareholder or business partner leaves, often some key staff members leave as well. So that's a tough one. And then that kind of extends to reputation and client relationships. You know, so certain clients, you know, to use that restaurant example again, you know, certain clients might actually like that chef. They like his style of cooking. So if he goes off to another restaurant, they may follow, you know, are they following the chef or are they following the ambiance of the restaurant? You know, so it's a tricky one. And, you know, it's something that a lot of businesses need to manage and think about. When there's a separation or split, it's very seldom that things just carry on the way they were. And then the last one is, you know, kind of covers a lot of these, is potential legal challenges. So, you know, what are the legal aspects of a separation? So, you know, not even when things get acrimonious, you've got to restructure the business. It can take a lot of time, you know, new agreements, all those kind of things, you know. So if there's a dispute on how to value the business, you know, things can also get pretty nasty. That's kind of where our experience comes in. We get a lot of clients coming to us saying, oh, you know, we're going our separate ways. What's the business worth? Invariably, the person leaving thinks the business is worth a huge amount, and the person staying thinks it's worth less. You know, so it's very, very difficult when that happens.
Yeah, quite complex, very much complex and challenging at the same time. So what can business partners do, Graham, to prepare or plan for these things in advance?
So I think, you know, again, like with anything, planning is essential. It's not all doom and gloom. You know, there's a number of preemptive steps you can do to plan ahead if this happens. Okay. Now, it's a bit like in a marriage, you have a prenuptial contract. So nobody likes to do it. I remember, you know, like you ask any newly married couple or couple that's thinking about getting married, like the worst thing is when you have to go and discuss the legal aspects of an antenuptial contract. It's a horrible thing to do. You know, you're young and you're in love and all those things, and now you've got to do the legals. But with business, it's the same. And you've got to have this discussion while you aligned and while you're on good terms, so that you're not having this discussion when a crisis has hit and you're clouded by emotion and anger. Any rational thought often goes out the window when things get tough and get difficult. So there's sort of seven things, and I'll touch on them briefly. And I'm keeping half an eye on the time here, because else we're gonna run out of time. But I think the following things can help. Is you can, you know, the first thing, as I say, is you've got to have a partnership agreement, you know, or a shareholders agreement. So this is just, you know, it's a well-documented agreement that says, as shareholders, as partners, this is what we're each responsible for. Who does the dishes? Who does the cooking? Who mows the lawn? You know, who earns the money? You know, it's about mapping that out. But also, what is the conflict resolution mechanism? So if we split, how do we go about resolving that conflict? So it should have a procedure for that, including, you know, how you value the business. You should decide that up front, how you're going to think about what this business is worth and how you will buy that person out. You know, so is it going to be that you have to pay them a lump sum? Is it going to be that, you know, when they leave for the next 3 years, you need to pay them, you know, a dividend, or pay them out over time? Agree that stuff up front. So when it happens, you've got that plan. You might decide to change it when it happens, if you're on good terms and what have you, if the circumstances have changed. Do that and keep that agreement up to date and refreshed. I touched on the regular business valuations. So it's something that's essential to keep an up-to-date record of the business's worth. You know, it's the same like with a house. You know, you might think you're living in this house and one day you're going to sell it and retire, but you know, what's happening to the neighborhood? Is it improving? Is it getting worse? Have you painted the walls? Have you done maintenance? So it also keeps people aligned. So if and when a separation happens, there's not a divergence in expectation around what the business is worth. So again, you need an independent person to help with that. And it's about being prepared. Then, like any counselor, relationship counselor will tell you, clear communication is essential. So, you know, as partners and shareholders, you've got to have open and transparent communication so you can address issues before they escalate, before they become, before that little pimple becomes a, you know, a sepsis. You know, so regular meetings to discuss not just the day-to-day operations, but the business direction, the financial performance, and any concerns. So these should both be informal and formal. You know, so the informal stuff is, let's go have a chat about the business over a coffee. But the formal stuff is like the AGM, the board meeting, the shareholders meetings. And ideally, for big decisions, you know, you should document those decisions, record it down on paper. In today's world, you can even record it on Zoom, you know, and, you know, so there's a record and there's no sort of he said, she said argument down the line. Succession planning, we've touched on this in previous episodes, is have a plan that says, how will the business continue if a partner leaves? You know, who are potential successors? So it helps you build a better business. How do you make sure that you've trained managers and supervisors to kind of step up to the plate? And again, writing it down and documenting it is important. Having a trusted advisor, number five, you know, so having a third party perspective can be a superpower. Like a lot of, I remember many years ago, one of our ministers at church said, you know, that him and his wife would go for marriage counseling every year when things were going well. You know, almost like a coaching session. And with business, it's the same. To have a coach, or an advisor, you know, whether it's a fractional CFO or an exit planner who help you prepare for these separations, somebody with an independent expert, but somebody most importantly that you trust and you both trust, you know, if you've got more than two partners or shareholders, you know, that you can guide you on your business strategy, draft agreements, and navigate that sort of complexity. Really, really important. It's like a business mentor, so to speak. And then two more is conflict resolution mechanism. We touched on that early, but what happens if there's a future conflict? How will it be resolved? So having that written down, and it could be something like to say, well, you know, if we ever agree to go in our own ways, we're not going to go the legal route. Okay. We might decide to say we'll go to an agreed mediator or arbitrator and their decision will be final. And the reason people do that is, one is it's a lot more cost effective. It's independent, but also that decision is final and binding, you know, so you don't get, you know, caught up in long and protracted court battles and all those things. So that's often used and included in shareholder agreements. And I think it gives a structured process for resolving disputes without having to go to litigation. So the rules of the game are clear, and there's a methodology on how to do that. And then the last one, you know, I wouldn't be talking about business if it wasn't this, but ensure your business is always sale ready. Okay. So what I mean, we've spoken about that a lot, is you know, if you do that, by default, the previous six things kind of all come together. Okay. So sale ready means that you've got systems and processes, you've documented things, you've removed the owner dependence, you've got clear and accurate accounting records. And everything's there. Okay, so if you focus on this, it also creates a positive sentiment and environment in the business. So that also sometimes takes a lot of the reasons for separating away. If the business is functioning, those things are in place, then as partners or shareholders, sometimes you're not doing the work anymore. You're sitting aside, you're having the strategic discussion. So that's probably actually the most important one. If you adopt a mindset to say, how do we make sure that our garden is always watered, okay, and that it's growing well, and that, and the same applies to relationships, right? If you, if you're focusing on building something together, okay, then sometimes the niggles and the things that can lead to petty arguments fall away.
Maybe, you know, before we wrap up, since we still have time, maybe you can paint the picture better, you know, by means of a case study.
Yeah, I think you know, before we kind of go into a bit of a wrap up, let's talk about a real life situation. Yeah. And fortunately, you know, this I mean, I've changed the names just to protect the identities, mm-hmm. obviously, but this is a real client of ours. And I think, you know, I'll just tell the story about this. So this, let's call them, you know, the founders of Expert Engineering Solutions. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, this was the background. This was a highly successful engineering firm. It was founded 20 years ago by two friends, Gunther and Hein. And over the years, it grew from a small workshop, mm-hmm. To an established and respected firm. So they had a fairly diverse portfolio of engineering projects across a variety of industries, maritime, the motor industry, mm-hmm. aeronautics, and they had a reputation for excellence. Mm-hmm. So that's the background to the business. So looks all rosy, but yeah. where did the conflict come in? Okay. So a few years ago, Gunther and Hein started to have sort of significant disagreements with regards to the sort of strategic direction of, I'm going to call it EES just to simplify it, but mm-hmm. to the business. Gunther wanted to diversify into sort of the latest technologies and new markets. So, yeah. you know, those who know in engineering, you've got like heavy equipment and machinery. You know, there's a lot of craft involved in that. Gunther wanted to invest more in things like laser cutting mm-hmm. machines and, you know, 3D yeah. and computerizing, and also entering into new markets. So they were a South African business focusing on South Africa, mm-hmm. and he wanted to take that expertise, you know, to serving customers in the UK, all over the world. Yeah. Hein, I think he wanted to consolidate the existing strengths. So he wanted to focus on some of the core projects in South Africa. And I think these different visions led to some frequent and intense conflicts.
Yeah.
And I think that started to impact the firm's operations, the employee morale, and sure. they knew it. In addition, Hein had a close family member who actually lived in Germany, and they had taken ill, and he wanted to spend more time with them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, Hein was the one that obviously wanted to go and, you know, international, and maybe he hadn't expressed this, but I think maybe part of the international expansion mm-hmm. is he actually wanted to be able to have an operation in Germany so he could spend some more time there. But this was kind of coincidental. So there were a number of factors there. Then what happened is they kind of sat down and they recognized that the disputes they were having was damaging or harming the business. And they decided, listen, it was better to part ways. So fortunately, they were both engineers. And like engineers like to do, they like to plan ahead. And they already had a well-drafted partnership agreement, and it had outlined the procedures to, Fantastic, you know, to yeah. manage the exit. So it also included the need for professional valuation mm-hmm. and, you know, all those good things. So, you know, just where we come in is they came to us. They came to us jointly, and they said, listen, you know, we want to do an independent valuation here. So we looked at the business end to end. We looked at their profits, their liabilities, you know, where they were. And I think because they both agreed to that, is it gave a clear basis for negotiation. Mm-hmm. So then what they did is they negotiated what that settlement looked like. So their shareholder agreement had actually specified that they needed to use a third party okay. like us yeah. and the methodology that needed to be used. So they went into discussion around that. Gunther also didn't want to bring in a new partner, so he intended to buy Hein out. Mm-hmm. So the agreement did have details around if they wanted to bring in a new partner, but Gunther decided that he wanted to do it on his own. Mm-hmm. So with the assistance of the legal and financial advisors, they structured a buyout agreement, which was fair, complied with all the legal agreements. And how that worked is basically it consisted of 50% cash payment. So they were quite okay. conservative guys, yeah. so they couldn't pay the full amount. So that 50% of the value came out of company reserves. Mm-hmm. And then there was a deferred payment, which said over the next 3 years, you know, Gunther would pay Hein out. Then there was a transition, which I'll go through quite quickly. So, you know, what Hein agreed to is he'd be available on an ad hoc consulting basis. So, you know, he wasn't leaving completely, but okay. if Gunther needed him, he was available. Mm. So, and that was clearly documented. There was a clear process. And I guess what this did for the staff and suppliers and customers and all of that is it gave them reassurance that Hein would be available. They would continue to have the sort of same quality there. So, yeah, and then the last thing they did is they had a long-standing head of engineering who had been with them for 10 years, and he was promoted to take over the sort of engineering responsibilities from Hein. So, you know, this is a case study where things worked out well, but it was because they were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think the outcome was there was so many sort of steps where this could have been a disaster, but the planning ahead helped them navigate this. It was, you know, they'd done things the right ways. Look, there were some heated discussions, but it was always with positive intent. So, you know, if they didn't have the partnership agreement, if they hadn't understood what the business was worth, and they didn't have transparent communication, those were the sort of key things. Yeah. So, this is not the normal outcome. Yeah, most businesses we find are actually not prepared.
Yeah.
But it does give a blueprint on how you can successfully manage this.
Fantastic. You know, and, you know, for those maybe who are just joining in right now, if you can just briefly summarize, you know, our topic for today, business partner separation.
100%. So, you know, to conclude, basically, is, you know, business partner separations, they're challenging, but they can be properly managed with proper planning and preparation. Okay, so things like business valuations, clear partnership agreements, open communication are essential to navigate these situations.
Mm.
You know, in addition, having professional advisors or coaches who've seen a lot of these rodeos. Okay, so most people will go through a separation once or twice in their business career, if at all. But people who've been there and done that and helped others with this to plan ahead and navigate the situation, they're experts in this.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to call for outside help. You know, and preferably call for that outside help before it devolves to the point of a separation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So whether it's due to different visions, financial disagreements, personal circumstances, preparation and understanding the reasons, like what can go wrong, can help safeguard the business in the future. So it lies in proactive planning, making sure everyone's treated fairly, and maintaining the stability and integrity of the business if you do it right. So, you know, for us, that's really what we want to preach. We don't want to see businesses breaking up. But going through this planning process does two things. It actually sometimes avoids the separation in the first place because of what it surfaces and constructively deals with that. And then if it does happen, you've got the safety nets and the plans in place. Our preference is obviously the former. It never gets to that. Yeah. And by doing the planning, you avoid having to go through the pain down the line.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Sure. What a discussion and topic. Thank you so much for choosing this kind of topic today and leading it. And for the business owners who are listening and would like to, you know, consult with you guys as to how to go about this and plan for the future, where can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so Saki, as usual, easiest is to go to our website, it's actually changed. It's bizvalglobal.com now, which talks to the international work we're doing, but we're still very much a South African business. So if you go to bizval.co, you will also be redirected to that. Or they can drop me an email at Graham, that's G-R-A-H-A-M. At bizvalglobal.com, and yeah, or reach out to the studios. I'm sure you'll put us in touch if anyone's got any questions.
Yeah, Graham, thank you so much. Today was very much insightful. I'm pretty sure a lot of people learned a lot, and it sparked something within them. Thank you so much for leading this chat, and all the best.
Fantastic. Thanks, Sakia. Have a great day.
All right. That is how we wrap it up.
It's business made simple with Bizval. Exclusively on In Season.